Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Sometimes you only need one offer to get a second offer. What do I mean? Well, sometimes you want to get an offer on the table so that you can contact everybody else who's shown the property. Let them know, hey, I've got an offer. Why? Because we want the other buyers to feel a little bit of tension. If they've been waiting, sitting on the fence, wondering whether they should move now, we want to get them off that fence, right? If you're the buyer, you only want to compete with one person. That's yourself. But as a seller, when I'm representing a seller, I want to get as many prospective purchasers to compete to buy that property. I love multiple contracts. Sometimes it results in a higher price. Sometimes it results in better terms, but it definitely results in a much better process for my client. Things are systemized and quickened from the home inspections to the appraisal contingency. Sometimes appraisals are waived. Oftentimes we get a better price because of it. I had a home listed for $898,000, $898,000. And we were overpriced to the market. There's no question. The market downshifted in the third to fourth week of May, and we saw the market adjust by traffic coming through our properties. Maybe 40% of the buyers that we'd had previously were walking through. Yet still, we kept getting prospects walking through, three a week, roughly. Listed for $898,000, we got an offer for $825,000. You'd say, golly, that is so much less. That's a good 10% less than your list price. Now, I don't think the property is worth what the offer was, but the buyer wanted to make that offer, and as a seller's agent, I have the responsibility of presenting it. And I told my client, don't take offense. This is not a personal dig at you. This is just a buyer who's looking to get the best value, as anybody would want to get. So let's counter at a price that you're comfortable with. Now, this buyer made an offer that was attractive for a few reasons. In addition to the fact that it was a low price, it had a very quick settlement, 3 weeks, end of this month. Also was as is, meaning my client would have to do nothing to fix the property if anything was found on a home inspection. It was also cash, so there was no loan, no appraisal necessary. Those are three great terms and make the buyer specifically a very good and desirable buyer to work with. But the price was so low that my client was discouraged. I discussed with my client making a counteroffer, and we agreed that we would. And when I made the counteroffer, the buyer actually gave us a hard line and said, I'll go $5,000, and that's it. Not a penny more. Otherwise, I'm out. Well, it was that offer that I then took the time to contact all of the other real estate agents, and there had been some 25 to 30 agents who'd shown this property, to let them know that I had more than one offer, to let them know that I had an offer on the property. And as a result of telling them, we generated a buyer who had been interested in another one of my listings, but had changed course and come over to this property. This buyer came in with a higher offer with very comparable terms. And when I contacted the first buyer, he said, I'm withdrawing. So we ended up with a better price from buyer number two, quite a bit better. As a result of that, time elapsed. Another buyer came in the next day and brought us an even better price for our seller. So our seller ended up doing very well by having one offer that helped to produce a second offer. And a third buyer who'd been lingering for a week and a half and was trying to get some finances arranged came in, and knowing that they had to compete, they wrote their highest and best offer. The house was sold. My client will settle in the middle of August. A good and happy story. The fact is that sometimes my clients say to me, and perhaps you've said this to somebody in the past, I don't want to change my price. Why don't they just bring me an offer? Well, sometimes the price is so out of where it needs to be in order to generate an offer. Remember what I told you about this house, that I had consistent traffic through the property. It wasn't ill-priced for the neighborhood. It's just that the condition of the property did not warrant the price that we were asking. And we tried the market to see whether we could get that price, that higher price, because there wasn't a whole lot of inventory when we first were listing the property. However, the market downshifted, we got pushback, and we had to come to reason, which was roughly a 4 to 5% adjustment in the sales price. Okay, That said, if you're overpriced in the market and you're getting very little traffic or no traffic, then the problem is the price. It's not a question of delivering the value of the property to the market as long as the pictures have been done well and the marketing information is correct. It is more about pricing to where people are buying a home like what you're offering. Let's pretend you have your home on the market, and there's another house on the market that is 500 square feet larger, but is only $30,000 more expensive than yours. That additional 500 square feet is only going to cost $30,000, or roughly $60 a square foot for the additional 500 square feet. Now, assuming that it's not a weird sort of arrangement at the house, sort of a, you know, West Virginia style house where someone's taken the house and they just, without permits, added to the back of it and then decided, I want to make it bigger and added a little more to that. I've seen houses like that. Now, let's pretend that this is a legitimate home which has not been added to in a funky, non-architecturally a wise way. Well, okay. You're not going to sell very well against a house that's 500 square feet larger, all things being equal, with only a $30,000 spread between you and that house. So pricing yourself to reflect where the per square foot cost is, taking in consideration the lot differences, the view differences, the condition differences, is very important. It's good to look at each house historically. What's the historical comparable look like? The square foot cost for a particular neighborhood, probable improvements, and then taking consideration some of the intangible, like if the property that you're competing with backs up to the power lines, that house is probably worth 6-7% less in a buyer's mind. Or if the property is a flag lot where your house is actually behind another home and the front of your house faces the back of another property, there's probably a 3-4% adjustment. If you are right next to a giant water tower that throws its shadow at certain times of the day across your whole backyard, that has an impact, right? So pricing a house according to what's around you is important. You want to see what's above you and what's below you and price correctly within the spread between those two price ranges. Hey, let's talk termites for a second. We've had termites in some of our listings. You know, this area, we're known to have termites, right? We have those delicious wood floors that so many termites love to gnaw on. You know where most termites come from? They actually come from the front stoop of a house most times, sometimes from a garage door casing. Why is that? Well, when a house is built, oftentimes builders will throw their leftover lumber underneath the front stoop and then pour their concrete steps. You know, have you ever driven or walked into a new home construction site and you see the wheelbarrow would go up into the center of the house on a board that crosses from the yard up into the center hall of the property? Well, at the end of this job, they just, again, throw that leftover lumber into that hole and then bury it with dirt. And termites who love wood will start there, colonize, swarm, and then enter the house. So good to be aware, if you've never had termites in your house, I would encourage you to take a screwdriver and carefully prod the wood underneath your front stoop, inside your basement, prod the wood that's underneath your front stoop, right where your front door is, and see if you can push your screwdriver into the hardwood of that 2x10 construction or the sill plate of your basement. I'm not talking about just denting it with the pressure from your hand. I'm talking about sometimes you can just stick the screwdriver all the way through the wood. Hey, if that happens as a result of this announcement on the show, I want you to call me. I might just do an interview with you, and we can do it anonymously about what happens. Just in case you don't have my toll-free number, you can reach me here anytime about selling your home, buying a home, or with questions about real estate. Remember this toll-free number. It's 1-800-900-9104. 1-800-900-9104. Before I take another break, this coming fall, I'll be hosting 4 seminars on selling your home for top dollar. We'll be launching on our webpage at ericstewartgroup.com a sign-up. Now, let me advise you that we will have limited seating at all 4. And last year, we filled up. So if you're interested, even though we don't have a sign-up page and you'd like to sign up for the How to Sell Your Home for Top Dollar, we'll be doing these four seminars to get people ready to put their homes on the market for the spring of 2018 and beyond. If you're interested and would like to, I want to encourage you just to send me an email with your name and your phone number at eric@ericstewartgroup.com and say, I hope to sign up for the Virginia, because we'll have two in Tysons and two in North Bethesda, and they'll be very convenient. Okay, that's 800-900-9104. You can send me an email at eric@ericstewartgroup.com. Quick break, right back with so much more.